be to God. What kind of water do we use? Why did he do it? In all of the things that kind of distract us from something that is in the midst of this story, something we might not pay attention to if we get wrapped up around the act of baptism, all of which is important. But there is a moment that this morning I want us to focus in on, a very particular moment that the way Mark tells this story in the Gospel is so different than the way the others tell it. In fact, the very first verse in Mark's Gospel is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark doesn't bother with the nativity scene. He starts there at that very first verse to tell us exactly who Jesus is. And then we have this moment where he kind of glosses over the baptism because he says, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. That's it. There's nothing other than that one statement. And then he goes into what happens afterwards. And I want us to listen to what happens afterwards. I want us to think about being there in that moment, being there in that water, being there as you are immersed in that water, as Jesus was immersed. And as Jesus came up out of that water, what he sees is the heavens rendering. What he sees is that tearing open. That's the first clear vision he has. Because if you've ever come up out of water, you know that your vision isn't clear until you break the water's surface. And as his vision breaks the surface, what he sees is the heavens opening. And a dove descending. And then what does he hear? What does Jesus hear? He hears, not this is. He hears, you are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now, everybody loves a different translation. As we find in Bible study, we break open all sorts of different translations. These are some of the other ways it's been interpreted. This voice that Jesus hears in the common English Bible is, you are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness. Or if we were to turn to the popular Message by Eugene Peterson, this is what Peterson imagines Jesus heard. You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. And then in the King James Version, which a lot of us hold and cherish as that version that we have grown up in, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The first vision he has is of the heavens rendering, and the first voice he hears tells him what? You are my son. But not just my son, my beloved. And he hasn't done anything, as Amy was telling the children, but he is telling Jesus right there in that moment, with you I am well pleased. For Mark, it's about that relationship, that intimate relationship between God and his Son. That intimate relationship that reminds us of God's love, not just for this Son with whom he is well pleased, but his love relationship with the world. And his eagerness for us to be coming up out of those waters, looking back with those same loving eyes into the God who loves us. We all know what it means to be beloved, or to call someone beloved. How many of you come from large families, or even at least have a sibling? Did you ever hear Mom always loved you best? Did you ever hear this one was Dad's favorite? How did it feel when you were identified as that favorite or that loved? How did it feel when you had to identify a sibling as the one who was? I come from a family of five, and they all claim as the youngest I was spoiled. But we all have our ideas of who was the beloved daughter of our father and the beloved son of our mother. But what I came to realize is each of us, all five of us, are very uniquely made. So the love that our parents have for each of us comes out differently because they're loving the uniqueness of each and every one of us. And when we get worried about and envious about one other's love, we don't see clearly that relationship that our parent has with us. Now, some of us might not be able to even claim that earthly loving relationship. But there is that relationship of love that will never go away, and that's the loving relationship of God to God's created beings, to each and every one of us. God calls you beloved. God is well pleased with you. And God wants you to know that. God desires you to know that. Can you remember your baptism? Don't we often talk about that in baptismal renewals? Or even as we confirmed the faith of our young people who had already been baptized, we ask you to remember your baptism. Well, I had a young girl who said, "I don't. I can't remember my baptism. I was a little girl. So when you do this service, it means nothing to me. How can I remember my baptism?" But I was praying on this. And what I really think when we ask you to remember your baptism, the baptism we're asking you to remember is this baptism in Mark. This baptism of Jesus Christ, that when He is there and He is in coming up out of the waters and we hear God's voice saying to you, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." That when we ask you to remember your baptism, you are remembering through time not only yours, but Jesus's. So if you have no memory of your infant baptism when you might have been held here at this font, you have a scripture that gives you a vivid description of the baptism of your Lord and Savior who called you to these baptismal waters. God wants us to be His beloved. But more than that, God wants us to call one another beloved. Back to those family relationships and how much it hurts when you find yourself the one who feels unloved. That all you desire is for the ones that you love to love you back with that same unconditional love. Well, God wants us to do that to one another. God wants us to reconcile to one another. I want you just for a moment to think about the one that this morning, maybe, or even last week, that you wanted to call many other things besides beloved. Picture them in your mind. Get a clear sense of who they are. And call them beloved. Think about the power of God's love in the midst of that reconciling act. Think how we would be as a community if everyone saw one another as beloved. That when we looked at each other, we looked at each other with those eyes of Christ and called each other beloved son, beloved daughter, beloved friend. Imagine what would happen here if all our energy was about loving one another and loving the community. And the things that get us upset with each other, allowing them just to be the things that we can pass by. Because the important thing isn't the stuff, it's our relationship to one another. So I want to give us one other image this morning. Because love can transform us. But what if love were to transform this community? We've had Jesus in the waters. We've had ourselves in the waters. And we've seen those heavens rend. What if we were all gathered together at the river? And we were all as one huge body. And we were baptized, not as individuals, but as the community of faith that worships here at Plank Chapel. And that we went all down into the waters together. And then as we rose up and our visions got cleared, we could see into the heavens and see the Lord looking down on us right now, today, and say, "You, Plank Chapel, you who are worshiping here are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Can you imagine the power in that moment? The power of God working through us as community here in this place, here in this community, that God's love for God's people could be spread by us, because what people would see here in this place is a community who not only loves their Lord, but loves one another enough to serve together in whatever mission God has for us. The baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is good news, because it is the good news of God's salvation for the world. And I just want us to hear again the words that we just sang. Oh, how deep your holy wisdom, unimagined all your ways. To your name be glory, honor. With our lives we worship praise. We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born. By your grace, our lives we offer. Recreate us, God. Transform. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're not immediately going into song, because we're going to immediately go into recognition of those who have served.